Morning. Y'all look pretty good. You doing pretty good?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Yeah, join us for worship. Worship's the key. It's the key that unlocks the door to the things that seem to bind you up and you can't really seem to get a breakthrough. It's as you worship Him. So join us. 6 o'clock tonight, okay? 6 o'clock. Right, Pastor John? 6 o'clock? I want to make sure I give you the right time, so just by way of a couple of announcements. First of all, if you get a bulletin, how many of you get a bulletin when you walk in? How many of you actually read that bulletin that you got? Okay, just checking. All the information of that which you need, if you have some questions, should be in there, but let me just highlight a few things, kind of let you know what's going on. We don't want to get so much information in there that you guys just don't want to read it, but next week is the marathon that runs by the church, okay? So you ready for this? We need your help in cheering on our community. Maybe I better back up, because if you're a guest here right now, you're saying, what in the world are you talking about? If you are a guest, first of all, welcome. We hope you feel welcomed here. I'm glad that you're here. And there's in front of you a connection card. If you'd fill that out, you can take it over to the coffee station, get a free cup of coffee, or you can just give it to one of the ushers, or you can give it to me. But it's a way that we can follow up and let you know things that are going on. But we're just glad that you're here and hope that you feel welcome. Now, the marathon is like last year. It's going to run right by the church. And what we did last year was we had a Hawaiian theme or a Beach Boy theme, one of those two, and it had everyone dress up in their Hawaiian shirts, and we had Hawaiian lays, and we cranked some Beach Boys music. And you can imagine the surprise, because these runners didn't know this was coming, as they're trucking it up past the El Verno. And they come up over the crest of the hill, and they see a bunch of crazy, fanatical Christians out there jamming Beach Boys in Hawaiian shirts, cheering them on, make noisemakers, you can do it, you know. And we want to do that again. We want to cheer them on. Now, don't get me wrong. I think we need to show God's love in a practical way. I'm fine with the fact that with all things possible are possible with God, and you can do all things through Christ, but this is probably not the time to put it on a sign and show them that, okay? You know what I mean? I just want you to hear my heart. We don't want to be religious. But if you're saying, but that's the word of God, it is. It's just timing's important too. And I want to meet the community where they're at. So they're going to be running by. So I'm inviting you to be here next Sunday at 7:30 a.m. And all God's people said,
amen.
That was the ladies. I heard all ladies' voices. Men of God, where are you? 7:30 a.m. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. If I have to. No, I'm giving you a hard time. 7:30 a.m. And here's why. Last year, we said be here at like, I think it was 8 o'clock or something like that. And people were running up over that hill. Those little critters are fast. I mean, they're coming up over that hill. So I want you to be here at 7:30. And this is what we'll do. I'm going to ask you, our theme this year is superheroes. Now, maybe you've seen it, but we've painted some signs and we're working on that. Huge tarps. We've got like the Wonder Woman logo and Batman and Superman, and we're going to put that on the hill. And we're going to get some speakers out there, and we're going to jam some superhero theme songs. And feel free to come show up at church with your Superman t-shirt or Batman or Green Lantern or whoever it is. Just don't make them, you know, like onesie pajamas or something, okay? Because that would be really creepy. And so we want you to be here for that 7:30. It's a way that we get to cheer them on. Last year, what we did was the talk of their little after party. You know why? Because some church decided to meet us where we're at and show us love in a practical way. That sounds like the word of God to me. And so we want to do that again. So please be there. Then afterwards, you're probably saying, well, then what are we going to do? Because I'm a second service person. Well, you can do a lot of things. You can go to two services, first of all, right? Yeah, I didn't think so. You can go out to breakfast and come back for a second. We're going to provide some food, some donuts and rolls and juice and coffee, and we're going to set up tables. You can hang out during first service and have a time to fellowship. That's a good thing to do, right? And you can do that. So we're going to make that available over there until second service starts. And so I think I've said everything I can say about it. So I'm going to move right along. So next week, it snuck up on me. I looked at my wife and I said, the marathon's next week. She said, yeah. So we need to be ready. So let's be ready for that. Also, ladies, you should have had this handed to you last week. Women's conference. If you did not get one, information is in the bulletin, or you can talk to Pastor Lisa or Pastor Sandy and ask them questions. I want to encourage you to get involved in this. This is the Foursquare Women's Conference. It's going to be in Moline on September 16 and 17. This is an opportunity where women, you're getting together to just draw and extract from the Word of God, but also to fellowship. And because it's in Moline, you'll notice it's an overnight thing. You can stay overnight. Sometimes people like to do that and have that time of fellowship. Sometimes work schedules don't allow you to. And you can go on the 16th, you can go on the 17th, you can go for both days. All you need to do is if you have a desire to go, make sure to get signed up. Today's the last day, okay? It's the last day. So sign up at the Information Center or talk to Pastor Lisa or Pastor Sandy. Okay. Last week, we talked about distractions, right? Do you remember that? And we didn't get to finish it. And so we're going to do that today. But a couple more things I want to do. I want to ask AJ, where are you at? There he is. He's waving at me. AJ, will you come up here, please? I talked to you last week and throughout the last three or four weeks, and would you mind coming up as well? I said that we have an intern that's on the way. Here he is. We've got our intern. So now, one of the passions that I have is to be able to develop other leaders. I don't claim to be the perfect person. All I know is I'm in a perfecting process, just like you. And there was a time where he's been in the ELM program in Madison, Wisconsin, has completed that. And I so wanted to, I said, I want to have an ELN program here. ELN is to get teenagers, young adults in there. They're going, I think I'm called into ministry. I'm just not really sure. Well, we're going to help them answer that. If it's ministry, we'll move to internship. If it's not, we're going to help them become the best butcher, baker, candlestick maker they could ever be. But AJ is doing the internship, which answers the question, I know I want to go into ministry. I just don't know where. And so for the next year, we're going to have time. And we're going to be going through the educating process and furthering his education. And he's going to be working around here at the church, serving and getting experience, all with the goal that at the end of this, we're going to be launching him out wherever it is he feels the Lord is leading. So, AJ, I just want to give you a moment. Is there anything you'd like to say? And amen. You know, I really felt the Lord leading about getting an intern, and I knew AJ was coming to the end of this, and I purposely did not want to choose AJ because it was so easy. You know, I know AJ, I love AJ, I know his heart, I know he'd be a good fit. God, this is too perfect. This cannot be you. Have you ever been there? You know, it's kind of like God goes, well, hello, I just dropped it in your lap. Sorry, I was going to tell you a story, but us preachers like to do that. And so I wasn't going to ask him, and I saw him at a conference, and I just felt the Lord say, if you don't ask him now, somebody else is going to. To which I ran to AJ. I said, hey, AJ, I want you to consider this, and he did. And so this is a God thing, but I want you to know this is a part of his training and learning. We're all learning, and so we're doing this together. This isn't, hey, Pastor Jim's got an intern. This is Church of the Open Door has an intern, and AJ, you are part of the family. It's not about just the position you're filling or a slot that's being occupied. It's about functioning and being a part of what God is doing. And so with that being said, I want to ask church, would you just extend your hand as we pray for AJ, pray for our church and what God is going to do. And do you mind if I ask you to pray? Would you mind doing that? I didn't prep you for that, but I wanted. Amen. Can we just give AJ a hand as well as thanking the Lord? God bless you. Please sit down. Thank you. Thank you, AJ. He's come and he's excited and I'm excited. And when he finally said yes, I said, now we've got work to do. And so what a joy it is to be able to come today and just to continue on in what we're doing. Last week, I shared with you some cards that I got from some teachers in the community. Do you remember that? Or letters, actually. They were, they're right here, I think. I got a letter from Bluff Elementary, which I read to you, from the teachers, thanking us for the teachers' gifts. We got a letter from Jefferson. And then Monday I went into the office, and I ended up with three or four more. And I thought, what a testimony. And I bring them to you, and I want to share them with you, because here's the thing, when they cross my desk and I see them, they're not on my desk because I did anything. They're on my desk because you did something. And thank you again for being a church that gives. As a matter of fact, let me just share with you what some of them had to say. One teacher from a school. Oh, there we are, Clinton High. Just said, thank you so much for the treats that started our school year. The goodies are greatly appreciated. I will keep you in my prayers. And would appreciate if you would keep all of us at Clinton High School in your prayers. Somebody asking for us to pray. Here's a card that has five teachers who wrote all over it. I'll read it to you quickly. It just basically says, God's love touched me in a very special way. Thank you. But here's what they wrote. Thank you for the gift of a drink and school supplies. Your thoughtful act of kindness brought warm fuzzies to my heart. God bless you. Here's another one. Dear Church of the Open Door. Thank you for your thought and your creative back-to-school gift. We appreciate your warm gesture. I ask that, get this here, she's asking something of you, okay? I ask that you keep our families and staff in your prayers. It's pretty cool, huh? That isn't just the, oh yeah, she said something nice. No, she said, I'm asking you to please pray. Please pray. Thank you so much for your thoughtfulness. Such a wonderful way to start the school year. Blessings on you all. Another teacher said, thanks for the gift you provided for back to school. It was appreciated. Another one said, thank you for the gift. It was so thoughtful. And another teacher wrote one on her own. Thank you so much for the wonderful gifts at the beginning of the school year. The coffee helped to keep me awake during the meetings. And the supplies are used daily. Thank you, Rachel. And this is a great testimony right here. Not just of how good God is, but a testimony of your willingness to do something to get beyond yourself and reach the community. So some of you, I know some of you are saying, well, I didn't do anything. But you're part of the body. You're part of the body. Some of you just packed a bag. But in so doing, you bless these teachers. Some of you just wrapped the ribbon. Some of you went to the store and bought it. Some of you had to drive it from probably Sam's or Hy-Vee or something to our place. Some of you got to deliver it. Some of you smiled while you handed it to them. That was all part of being the body of Christ. So I take time to just say thank you, because it is very important to educate and learn and to grow. Amen? But it's also as important to take what you've learned and do something with it. If you just gather information and keep it all to yourself and hoard all the information, you're going to become a Pharisee at best, because you'll have all this information, but you don't do a darn thing except point out what other people aren't doing. But if you also go on the other side of you're so busy and doing, then all of a sudden you lose who you are, because your identity becomes in what you can do, not in who you are in Christ Jesus. And if you lean too far on the feelings and the warm fuzzies, the best you get is to be called charismatic, because I'm feeling it. Holy Spirit must be here. I got a goosebump. You know, even when you don't get goosebumps, the Holy Spirit's there. So my point is this. I want to say thank you for the way that we just take this and we blend it all together. And we just say, this is the body of Christ. Now, let me continue on with our message on distractions. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that when we left off, we were in 1 Samuel chapter 3. If you were not here last week, there is an outline in your bulletin. And let me just give you some of the blanks up to this point. If I remember right, we ended... Did I even give you point one? Did I? Okay. Because I got a little note here that said, stop here. And I said that we needed to... If you looked at your bulletins in or your outline and you weren't here last week, what we talked about was I referred to Ezekiel chapter 12. Son of man, you live in the midst of a rebellious house. People who have eyes but don't see, ears that don't hear. And I asked the question, and it's in your outline, why don't they hear or see? And the answer is because they're not paying attention. It's because they're not paying attention. We went on and continued to talk about Samuel, how he was being called, because Eli, who was the priest, loved his children more than he loved God. Remember that? Okay. His sons were wreaking havoc within the temple, sleeping with people, taking stuff that did not belong to them, and they were entitled beyond belief. Well, I deserve it, because after all, you know, my dad's the pastor. You know, they get this PK syndrome going on in their head or something. And all of a sudden, they get in trouble, and Eli does not discipline them. He gives them a good talking to, but he doesn't discipline them. Why? Because he loves them more than he loves God. How do we know that? Because we read Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, that said, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And because there was no discipline, he was basically saying, and there's other reasons, but I'm focusing on the fact that he did not discipline them because he had such a great love for them. But his love superseded his love for God. His love for his kids superseded his love for God. So we went on and we continued to talk about being able to hear, and that one of the keys is listening. Remember I told a story about a high school band teacher who asked the kids and said, "Hey, listen, I want you to answer this question. I want to know what's the difference between listening and hearing." And nobody in the room wanted to answer. I mean, you're in high school. Nobody wants to answer that question. You don't want to give the wrong answer. You don't want to look like an idiot or something like that. But finally, one of them piped up, and this was in your outlines if you want to write it down. One of them piped up and said, "Listening is wanting to hear." And I thought, that is a great distinction between the two. Because we can hear. Most everybody here, let me look at you a minute. Hold on. From what I can tell, we all have ears. Yeah, I think we can all have ears. If you can hear my voice, raise your hand. If your neighbor's not raising their hand, elbow them in the chest. Wake up! You know, do one of those. So, we have ears, and we can hear. Here's the next question. But are we listening? Are we listening? Listening is wanting to hear, which means you're going to take what you heard and do something with it. So, we use Mary and Martha as an example. Remember that? We talked and said, Mary and Martha, great, great people of God. I'm not going to throw rocks at Martha at all because I've had my Martha moments. How about you? And what I mean by that is this. They said, "Jesus, come on over to my house. We want to feed you. We want to feed the preacher." And Martha went in the kitchen and started whipping up souffles and tater tot casseroles, and she was going to town banging and clanging dishes while Mary was seated at the feet of Jesus. And she wanted to know, what do you have to say? You see, Martha got mad. And this still blows my mind. I still cannot believe this. Martha told Jesus what to do. Think about that. Listen here, turkey, tell her to get in here and help me. Who's going to tell Jesus what to do and live? I mean, think about just growing up in your home, your mom and dad. I don't know your mom and dad, and I'm not saying all moms and dads. Everyone's different. I'm just going to say this. How would it go over in your house if you went up to your dad or your mom and you told them what to do? How's that going to go for you? Not very well, is it? Go clean your room. I don't think so. Why don't you take the garbage out? Why don't you take the garbage out? I'm not taking it out. That's not going to go over well. Yet Martha, now I hear my heart. I don't think Martha was being, I don't think she was being arrogant, prideful, cocky. I don't think she was being, what's that? Compassionate? Obnoxious, there we go. I was looking for that right word. She was not doing it with the heart to say, you know, why don't you tell her? She was just stating a fact that sometimes it's a trap that we can get into. Sometimes we start getting busy doing the ministry that we forget about being. We forget who we are, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes we can get so caught up in what we do, especially men, we're horrible at this. We can come up and say, "Hey, how you doing, Jabba? Jabba, nice to meet you, you know. So what's the next question usually that comes up? What do you do?" We want to know what they do. And what we end up doing is we end up tying who we are with what we do, and our identity is less about who we are in Christ Jesus, and it's more tied into the abilities and capabilities that we have, that we have created in our own, or at least we think we've created on our own. And we tie that, our identity, to that. We have to understand that we've got a lot to learn in this. And so Martha was busy doing the work, and it's not that she was trying to be obnoxious, but she looked and saw Mary, you know, what is she doing sitting at the feet of Jesus? There's a lot of work to be done. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, if he says your name twice, you are in the doghouse, all right? And he said, only one thing is important, and she has chosen it, and it will not be taken from her. Now, Jesus didn't scold her. He didn't say, put your dishes down. I've got 2 feet, get it. He didn't do that. He located her where she was at and helped her to see where she was at so she could get where she needs to be. And he does the same thing with you and me. But the enemy wants to distract us. Because if he can distract us, we won't see that we're busy doing and we forgot about being at the feet of Jesus. That's what's most important. So, it's a good thing we talked about that last week, right? One of the ways that we learn, John 10:27, we read this last week. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Why do they follow me? Because they know my voice. I think I asked it last week, but let me ask it again. Do you know his voice? Do you know? You can be in a crowded room. You can be at a sporting event. You can be... I know this happened. We were at a football game. What day is it? Sunday, Saturday, Friday. and kids are walking by. There's just noise everywhere. I mean, it is just noisy, screaming. I could have swore I heard a little girl screaming, and I turned, and it was a junior high boy. It's just, wow, you know, noise everywhere going on. Yep, my son had walked by, and in the midst of all this noise, I went, Seth! And he stopped and looked. Why? Because he knew my voice. He knew my voice. And there's going to be times that in the midst of this world where there's crowded voices everywhere and just weird things are going on, Father God's going to speak to you and he's going to say, my son, my daughter, and he wants to know, are you going to be able to recognize his voice? Because if you don't, you're going to stay lost in that midst, that sea of confusion, wondering why God doesn't seem to show up, but yet he does. You see, we need to learn, and I said this last week, but it's in your outlines. Listen to him first. The key is to listen to him first. Seek first the kingdom of God. And it goes on to say, and all these things will be added to you. When? When you seek him first. It's about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, Jesus was simply repeating what the rest of the scripture already promised. We discussed that. And we learned that the reason that God chooses Samuel to replace Eli was that this boy would say to God, speak, for your servant is listening. That's why he chose him. Have you ever wanted, I'm just throwing this out there, I'm not saying this is you, but have you ever wanted God to move in a mighty way in your life? And then you wonder, did maybe he not, because he's looking for me to say, speak, your servant is listening? And we now know maybe we weren't. Maybe we were telling God what we wanted him to say. And then he didn't move, and we wondered why. He's looking for people that will say, speak, your servant is listening. I'm not just hearing, I'm listening. I'm not just hearing what you say, I'm going to do something with what you said. So now this begs the question, we said, how do we know when we're listening to God? And number one was because you'll stay as close as possible to God at all times. Not some of the time, not a third of the time, not 3/4 of the time, but all of the time, you will stay close to him. And when you stay close to him, you'll be able to hear his voice. So Samuel lived close to God. If you look at 1 Samuel 3 and read that a little bit more, you'll see that he lived close to God, stayed close. He was at the tabernacle every day. Every time the place was open, he was there. He was there. Well, of course, part of the reason is he lived there. And I can identify with that to some degree. You know, if many of you, do you remember the old church? It's now the Seventh-day Adventist Church over by, I don't know what it's by. It's over by Clinton High area. And we used to live in the back of the church. So, you know, I could say, yes, I was at church all the time. What I didn't tell them is that was my house. Samuel, he lived there, but he grew up there in that environment. Now, the question is, being in the tabernacle, being in the presence of God, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? You see, it's important to go to church. Do you agree? I hope so, because you're here. And if you don't think it's important, I want to know why. Because when we worship together, the goal for coming together, to gather together in church, is to worship Him, number one. And in the midst of our worship, we fellowship. And we accomplish the getting together and learning and growing. There's something that happens. But we have to do that. We have to be willing to draw close to Him. You know, we have to be willing to get involved in these discipleship programs. If you're here today and you've ever thought this, I kind of like to do OSL, but I don't know. You need to do it because it crossed your mind for a reason. Because God wants you to know you can do it, but I'm not been that good at memorizing. Well, then now you get to learn, or we get to work with you on it. Well, I'm not good at reading. I'm not really good at reading. Me neither. I was a horrible reader. But then I thought back and I thought, wait a minute, it wasn't that I was really a horrible reader. It's that I didn't want to learn. I didn't want to take the time. And if you don't want to take the time for something, if you're not passionate about it, you never will grow or flourish in that area. But one of the most important things that we can do for ourselves is learn to feed ourselves. You know who gets fed? People who are hungry. That's who gets fed. The people that get fed are the ones that are hungry. So in your walk with Christ, if you want to see growth and health in your marriage, in your home, in your business, the question is how hungry are you? You see, we need to be lifelong learners. One of the things I never thought was, is when I was in high school, here's what I did. Maybe you had this thought like me. In high school, I thought, I cannot wait to get out of high school because I will never have to take a test again, ever. You ever have that same thought? How disappointed were you? Were you as disappointed as I was when I realized there's way more tests in life after high school? I thought, after high school, I don't have to learn anything else ever again. I don't have to listen to somebody talk and bump their gums and run their mouth, and I can just watch TV and play video games till Jesus comes home. And that was my plan. And then I learned that I needed to learn. It's a process that we have to all have to do. But by the way, we are all called to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are all called to be effective for the kingdom of God, which means we need to be learning. So you want to know how I started learning. It sounds really ridiculous. I always struggled with reading. Not that I couldn't read or I had some disability. It's that it was boring and I didn't want to take time for it. You know, I had more important things to do, like watch TV. And but I was with some friends of ours. It's actually Pastor John's daughter, Kim, and my wife were at her house in Colorado years ago, and they got talking and I got bored. So while they're talking, I'm looking around the house for something to do, and I see this book. Have you ever heard of James Patterson, the author? Okay, I found one of his books, and I opened it up, and I'm like, I must really be bored. I'm opening a book. I flipped the page, and after like one or two pages, I had finished a chapter, and I was like, I just finished a chapter. Man, I knocked it out of the park. Man, I was good. Did you see how, you know, this is what I'm feeling inside. I thought, I'm going to read another chapter. So I read another one. Before I know it, I had read like 10 or 12 chapters. And what it did was just basically, now I know it's not a very spiritual illustration, but using that moment right there, do you think God can use moments like that to teach us? Absolutely. Absolutely. All of a sudden I realized, I can read. My problem is me. I didn't want to. So all of a sudden I started reading books that started to edify and build me up. I started reading the Word of God more and more. And all of a sudden, I started learning. And when I started learning, I became better. You see, the enemy wants to distract you and sell you on every reason that you can't read, you can't learn, you can't grow, you can't teach, you're ineffective, you'll never amount to anything, you're never going to be able to accomplish that. And if you believe those lies, then that's what you're going to receive. But God says, I've got a promise for you, and it's in the Word of God. His promises do not return void. And He says, He will accomplish His will through you. But are you going to be a learner? Are you going to be a learner? We need to be learning, whether that means you're listening to a sermon, or you're listening to a podcast of somebody else, you're reading a book, you're taking a class. You want to know how nerdy I got? I love learning now. It's crazy. I'm taking on some programs and some classes, but in the midst of that, I remember one week, last week, I had five books to read in 5 weeks for a class. And I accomplished the last book on the last day, and I went to bed completely exhausted. And have you ever heard of the Great Courses? Anyone ever hear of that? It's online. You can buy these classes where they download. It's a teacher in video format, and he'll teach you, and you can download the book that goes with it. And so I ordered Meteorology 101. And for kicks and giggles, I take a class and learn that. What is wrong with me? What happened? What happened is this. When you learn that you can learn, and what you learn God can use, then all of a sudden you can accomplish more for the kingdom of God and what he wants to do. I took meteorology because I wanted something fun. I wanted something interesting. And all of a sudden you'll realize you can learn more than you ever thought you could. You get into the Word of God, you may say, I know that God's promises are true, but I didn't see them that way before. I didn't see how they could function in my life. But sometimes in the midst of getting into his Word, he's going to reveal things to you you didn't know before, no matter how deep or how shallow you may think they are. You know, I love useless information. This is just me. And my wife, you know, sometimes I'll share that with her, and she gives me that look. You know that look? Say, hey, you want to know what I learned? And she'll be like, what? So 11:30, I said, did you know that when the thunder goes boom, that do you know where that comes from? And she's like, no, but I have a feeling you're going to tell me. And I said, yeah, I was watching this last night. I said, when lightning shoots out, you know, go, the air warms up to 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit and makes the air move so fast it breaks the sound barrier. Boom, and that's what we hear. I said, isn't that cool? And she's like, yeah, whatever. I was getting my nerd on, but I tell you what, there's an avenue that's open for learning. Whether it be in something that's fun and interesting to me, or whether it's the Word of God, or whether it's what the Holy Spirit's speaking to me for this season in my life, if I'm not willing to be open to learning, then it shuts down every avenue of receiving the blessings that God has for me. And it's the same for you. He's looking for people that want to be learners. Well, how do we do that? Well, Samuel, he positioned himself and said, Lord, here am I. What is it that you have to say? Speak to me. I'm listening. I want to know what you have to say. He said, how can we know that we know that we know we're in a place? I said, first of all, because you'll stay as close as possible to God at all times. That's how you know you'll be listening. And number two, write this down, because you'll grow in the presence of God. You'll grow. How do I know that I'm listening? How do I know that I'm positioned in a way that I'm hearing God? Because you'll grow. When you are fed, health comes to your body. You start to grow. You become stronger. When you spend time in the presence of God spiritually, you grow. You become stronger. But if you miss out on feeding yourself, whether it be spiritually through going to church or doing your devotions or getting involved in a Bible study or whatever it is, then you risk missing the ability to hear what God has to say. And he's got some good stuff to say to us. 1 Samuel 2:21 tells us this. It says, the boy Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Did you see that? Samuel grew. He grew. Where? In the presence of the Lord. He wasn't just hanging around the tabernacles. He wasn't just putting in his time. He wasn't just wearing a name tag saying, you know, I belong to this church. He was growing and he was stretching. 1 Samuel 2:26 is up there. Let's read this one together. Ready? Go. Now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor with both the Lord and with men. Here's the question. How have you grown in Jesus lately? How have you grown? Maybe you can answer that today. Maybe you're thinking, I don't know. You see, have you improved in your prayer life? Have you studied God's Word at home? What have you done to be a better servant for God? Showing God's love in practical ways. Some of you can, you know, you can answer that. That's not a problem, but these are the questions. I don't ask these questions to accuse or to make somebody feel bad. These questions are questions that every Christian ought to be asking themselves. Every Christian ought to be asking themselves, where am I improving? Where am I not improving? Where have I seen growth? Where have I seen a lack of growth? You go into the business world, you're going to find this wherever you go. You go into the businesses, the CEOs and corporations, you know what they're going to do? They're going to give you a review if you work for them. And they're going to sit down with you and they're going to say, over the course of this last year, this is where we've really seen you flourish and you've really grown in this area. And we so appreciate how you've given your time. You got such a willing heart and a servant attitude. But here's some areas that I see that you could use some growth. Here's some areas where I can see that there's a weak spot. Here's some areas where I can see that you need to firm up. You can do this. We're showing you this because we love you. We want you to be a part of this company. You know, that's the same thing the Word of God says that we're to do with our walk with Jesus Christ. To be able to look at it and say, where am I growing and where am I not? Where am I missing the mark? And where is it that God would say, yeah, well done. We should never be satisfied with just getting by in our faith. We should never be satisfied with just settling for second best. You see, it's a truth in this world that when we stop growing, we begin to die, right? And we all know the process of life. The moment you're born, the dying process starts. And we understand that. That's a part of life. And for those who know and love Jesus, you know, things are looking up. But if you don't have that relationship, you're going to miss out on the promises that God has for each and every one of us. See, we have to make it our goal. If we stop growing in our faith will begin to die just the same way. So we have to make it a point, make it your goal as a Christian to always grow in the presence of God. Number three, write this down. How can I know that I'm listening, hearing God? Well, because you'll minister for him. That's what Samuel did. We know that Samuel was growing because he ministered for the Lord. In other words, he did what he was supposed to do. The only reason he knew what he was supposed to do is because he listened. He positioned himself in such a way. Remember last week we talked about how at the very beginning, he didn't even have that relationship with God. All he did was hear God's voice. Remember that? And so is it possible for somebody who's a non-Christian to hear the voice of God? Absolutely. Samuel did. And then when he got that right with the Lord and started to hear his voice, he chose to move from hearing to listening. Lord, I hear what you're saying. Now I'm going to do something with what I've heard. And he moved into that position of the priesthood. And that was a process that God took him on. And he became a minister for God, but he started to minister for God. Now, I said this before, and I'm just going to take a moment on this. There's a difference between we are all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? You understand that? But what's the difference between being a minister for the gospel of Christ and being called into ministry? Because there is a difference. And I don't have the time to go deep into it, but when you're called into ministry, there's a unique calling that God puts upon your life that says, I want to give my time in this area. But it goes much more beyond that. It's about recognizing an anointing that God has placed upon you, that it becomes your vocation, or for some people, bivocational, or for some people, voluntary, because it's not about what you can get or what you can achieve. It's about what God wants to accomplish through you. We have to know that there's a difference. But we are all called to minister. So you can't say, well, I wasn't called into ministry, so God can't use me. Yes, he can. He can use you. But we also have to be careful of the opposite to be true. Some of us, we're trying to distinguish, are we called or are we not? You start with, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do the last thing he told you, because if you can't do that, you're not going to get anything else, right? It's kind of like the proverbial kid who says, I want you to trust me with driving the car, but if the last time he went out, he was irresponsible, wrecked it, or drank, you're not going to just throw him the keys, are you? No. Not until they've built up the relationship and the rapport of being able to be trustworthy. So how do I know? Because you will minister for him right where you're planted. Well, I don't want to minister here. I want to minister over here. Because over here, it's not comfortable. Oh, no. You minister where you're planted. Because if I can't trust you with that, I cannot trust you with this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So what do? Where you're planted, minister for him. Right where you're at. It was read three separate times in 1 Samuel. Again and again and again. Samuel, it says, was ministering to the Lord. Samuel was ministering to the Lord. What does that mean? It means if you're really listening to God, that which you hear from him will cause you to minister for him. Okay? Did you catch that? What does it mean to really minister for him? and to minister before the Lord. It means that when you hear what God says, it will move you to action to do something with what he said. To put hands and feet on the word of God. That's what it means. And it moves you to do something. 1 Samuel 2, verse 11. I'm backing up a little bit, but this is his father. It says, then Elkanah went to his home at Ramah. But it says, but the boy ministered to the Lord before Eli the priest. Where was he at? His dad went home. Where did he go? Where did he stay? He stayed there ministering. Where? Before the Lord. It says in 1 Samuel 3, 1. Throw that one up there. Let's read that one together. You ready? Go. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. So the first verse is when he was a young boy, and chapter 3 is where he's being called to be a priest. And in both places, you find him where? Ministering before the Lord. Ministering before the Lord. When God rebukes Eli in 1 Samuel 2:35, he tells him, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do. Say that with me. Who will do. That's what he's looking for. People who will do what it is that God said to do. He tells you to do something. And I've done this so many times before, so I'm not pointing fingers at you guys. I'm just going to tell them myself right now. There's times where God has said, I want you to go do this. And I said, I don't want to go do that. Then there's times where God said, I want you to go do this. And I didn't tell God I didn't want to do it. I just didn't do it. And then there's times when God told me to do something and I did it reluctantly. And then there's times when he's told me to do something, I did it willingly. What gets you from one season to the next? A willingness to submit, to surrender, and to just simply obey God. Having an ear to hear. He says this, he says, I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and in my mind. Not mine, Jim Machen, mine, Father God. I will raise up someone, anyone, a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and my mind. Let me say it this way. Are you ready? On the count of three, everyone lift your feet. Ready? One, two, three. Lift your feet because I might step on your toes here. If what you hear on Sunday mornings doesn't move you to serve God in some way, you're not listening. Oh, thanks a lot, Pastor. I know, but this gets me too. Because you're like, well, you're the pastor. I mean, aren't you doing your part? No, I got to leave here too, and I got to go. I'm one of you, okay? We have to do the same thing. But if what we're hearing doesn't move us to action, we're not listening. We're hearing. It's a good message, Pastor. You know, it really just touched me. It moved me. It did. Where did it move you to? Well, just kind of, you know, like gas, kind of. You know, that's all I meant. No. Where did it, like, move your feet? Where you actually got out and started walking, and you went and knocked on your neighbor's door, not to ding-dong ditch him, but to say, can I bake you some cookies? Where did it move you in your workplace to pray for your coworker? Pray for my coworker. Oh, everyone would think I'm weird. They already think that. If what we're hearing on Sunday, on sermons, in podcasts, on books that we read, you know, whatever, where we're feeding ourselves spiritually, if we're not letting it transform us, chances are we are hearing, we're just not listening. Victor Knowles told a story about a time shortly after the Korean War had ended. He says a night watchman happened to notice a hungry boy, Korean boy, seeking shelter on the streets. And he told the child, he said, you go down to the nearest home and you knock on the door and you say, John 3:16. Now even the boy didn't know what John 3:16 meant. But he did as the watchman instructed. And he went to the house and he knocked on the door. And he didn't understand this strange phrase, John 3:16. But when he spoke those words, the lady smiled at him and invited him to come in. And the boy thought this, I don't know what this John 3:16 is, but it sure makes a cold Korean boy warm. Seeing the boy was gaunt with hunger, the kind lady brought him a bowl of hot soup and he ate it. And the boy thought to himself again, I don't know what this John 3:16 is, but it sure makes a hungry Korean boy full. The lady gave the boy a nice bath and gave him clean pajamas. And as he laid there in his bed, tears flowing down his cheeks, he thought to himself, I don't know what John 3:16 is, but it sure makes a strange lady love a lonely Korean boy. That woman did what she did because she understood something the little boy did not. She listened to God, and his word changed her life. So she ministered to the little boy around her. You know, this morning, my challenge is simply this. Don't get distracted from the big picture. Serve where you're planted. Serve where you're planted. But I'm trying to make it. Okay? Serve where you're planted, and you'll make it just fine. But I'm trying to make it in my business and work up the corporate life. Okay, but serve where you're planted, and God will be the one that promotes you. But Pastor, I don't have anything. Don't worry about that. God owns the cattle on a thousand hill, we heard. So I believe God can provide. You just serve where you're planted, and you will watch that if you will not get distracted, and you don't start looking at how much money you have or don't have, bills you do have and don't have. It's not about the money. It's not about the people. It's not about the girls. It's not about the guys. It's not about the cars. It's about focusing and seeking Him first. Do not get distracted, or you will miss the big picture, and that is to serve where you're planted and watch how God will use you in the midst of it. Amen. Father, I pray today that as we come before you in your presence, Lord, I believe that you have spoken to our hearts in a profound yet simple way. Lord God, may we not get so comfortable that we just do church. We come to church and we've sat in the pew and Lord, we put our offering in. Isn't that enough? But God's not after our money. God's not after anything but our heart. And He wants our agenda to be His agenda. It's a kingdom agenda. But too many times we get distracted by what the world says. I believe some of us here today, as I stated earlier, I truly believe this. There's someone here today. Maybe it's you, but I believe that there's somebody that is carrying a heaviness that they can't shake. And as I said earlier, this is how you're going to get free of it. Because, by the way, when you're in Jesus Christ, you are free indeed. That means, sure enough, it's a done thing. But how do I get there? And it's simply this. You worship Him. You will not be free of that thing because of who you are, or how good you are, or how smart you are, or how quick you are. You will be free simply because Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. It's simply that in our weaknesses, He'll be made strong. But too many times in our own arrogance, we try to flex in the midst of our weakness, only to show that we are weaker yet. So my challenge is this. I don't know who that's for, but you worship Him. You worship Him. Well, where? I don't care. Car, shower, bathroom, kitchen. You worship Him. Because some of us are carrying a heaviness that goes back, not just about in our world and in our life, but it goes back to the ex-wife and the ex-husband. It goes back to the broken and fractured families that God says He wants to heal, but He can't do it if we're not going to listen. And He wants to bring that healing. He wants to bring that healing. But He won't do it unless we open our hearts and invite Him into that place. Some of us have experienced a loss that's been so great that we don't know what to do about it. Somebody's passed on, and when they went, they took a part of our heart that we feel will never be filled. But God doesn't want you to fill that as if to remove them from your memory. He wants to fill that with His Spirit in a way that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ alone. So I simply want to ask this. First of all, are you here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You can't have these promises without having Him. And it would be foolish for me to just blow by this and not ask. Are you here today and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or maybe you've gotten away from it? You can change that right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you. I'm just simply going to ask this. If it's you, just raise your hand and look at me and say, "That's me. I agree with you, my brother. God sees your hand in your heart. I agree with you, my sister. God sees your hand in your heart. He fills you with His promises here today in the name of Jesus. I agree with you. God sees your hand in your heart. You receive that today. I agree with you. God sees your hand. And the promises that He gives are faithful and true. I agree with you. God sees your hand in your heart. And you, I agree with you. God fills you with an everlasting love. It's not about what you've done. It's not about how good you are or aren't. It's about a Father God, not earthly father, because earthly fathers, we sometimes can pigeonhole them. But a Heavenly Father says, "I love you no matter what." He's got a plan and He's got a promise for your life. If you don't have it figured out, that's okay. It's not a bad place to be because you're following his lead. Is there any of the hearts here today? I'll wait for just a moment. Say, that's me, Pastor. I need to. Okay. Now I'm going to ask this. Maybe you're here today and you're the one that I referred to that you're only going to get through this through worshiping. You're only going to get through this through worshiping him. The pain is so great, and maybe it's gotten so great that it's become numb. You don't even feel it any longer. Your life has just become a routine. You do what you do because this is what you've always done. You don't know any different. Or if you do know, it's just been so long that it's not worth it. God wants to heal your heart. You know that roller coaster you're on? He wants to derail it right now in the name of Jesus. He's going to derail it in the name of Jesus. When he gets you in a place where he derails your life, it's not because he wants to bring chaos into the midst of it. It's because he wants to bring healing into the midst of your pain. And so I'm going to do this. I'm going to ask everyone, would you stand with me? And once again, we're going to put our hands out. You know why we do this? It talks in the Bible about taking our hands as an act of worship. And I want you to do this. Just close your eyes with me. Put your hands out in front of you. You know who you are. And I'm going to pray for you. And then we're going to do this. Open your eyes back up again. Sorry. You're going to take your hands. You're going to give it to him. All right? Are you ready to do that? So put your hands out. Father God, you know exactly what's going on in our hearts. This preacher's been preaching, but your Holy Spirit's been speaking to me. He's been talking and saying a bunch of words, but you've been stirring my heart. You've been pointing out the pain, and Lord, I don't want to go there. I don't want to feel it. I don't want to feel it ever again. But Lord, if it means going back there so that I can receive the healing once and for all, then I will go there. And Jesus, we ask that you would bring us to that place of pain, that place of hurt, that place of abandonment, that place of feeling like we're never going to get out of it. Lord, we're only going to get through that in the midst of our worship. And so, Lord, what we're going to do right now is we're going to trust your word. We're not just going to hear what some pastor said. We're going to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're going to take that which we've been harboring, holding on to, embracing, and making the love of our life, and we're going to give that up to you. So, Father, we take our hands, and now, everybody, lift that up and give that to God. Lord, we're surrendering that to you. And, Lord, as much as we do that in the physical sense, Father God, I pray that in our spirits, you would set us free indeed. Lord God, I pray that you would just bring healing into our hearts. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would wash us with the word. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would heal our hearts. That, Lord God, you would renew us, refresh us, revitalize us. And that in the name of Jesus, you would restore into our hearts a new understanding of what you want to do in our spirits. So we receive that in the name of Jesus. Can we thank him this morning? Father, we thank you. We thank you. Let me tell you something we just did. We just worshiped, okay? What? Isn't there supposed to be music playing? There's music playing. You can worship. When you obey, that's worshiping. When you sing songs unto the Lord, that's worshiping. When you read his word, it's worshiping. When you hold yourself accountable to somebody, that's a form of worship. When you decide to grow up and be responsible in an area, you are worshiping because you're taking the gift of life that God gave and you're saying, I'm going to quit treating it like I've always wanted to treat it because that's the way I wanted to treat it, and I'm going to treat it for what it is, the temple, the very spirit of God. And I'm going to worship. It doesn't mean you have to be weird. God's not calling you to be somebody you're not. He wants you to have fun. He just wants you to worship. God bless you. I love you. 6 o'clock, praise and worship. We'll see you then. You're dismissed.